When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. Too fast?
Wait.
Okay. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every people under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." The word of God for the people of God.
Would you pray with me and for me? Holy and gracious God, Holy Spirit, we are gathered together today because we know that you are here, and we dare to pray that your Holy Spirit might come and take the words that I have prepared and make them yours, so that together we might be filled with you, we might be inspired by you, and we might go into your world and make a difference in the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray all of this in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever waited for something? I mean, we all wait, right? We all wait. We wait in line at the grocery store. We wait in the DMV. We wait for dinner. We wait for fish. I've been at Lake Anna the last couple of weeks, days. And we've been fishing, and my grandsons have been fishing, and they throw it in, and they wait. And it's like, come on, fish. And one of them will get something and the other one doesn't. And you're just waiting because everybody, you want to. You just wait and wait and wait. And so you're waiting. But my question to you is, have you waited for something big? Like something that's going to change your life. Something that is going to make such a difference that you can't even imagine it yet. Like waiting for a baby. Waiting for a baby to come. Lauren and Eric, understand this. Waiting for this child. And you don't just sit around twiddling your thumbs. Like, you're working while you're waiting. Lauren is growing a child. Like, that is work. That is waiting. Have you waited for the phone call? You've done an interview, and you're waiting to hear if the job is going to be yours, and you know if you take this job, it's going to change your life. Have you waited like that? I'll tell you who was waiting like that, the disciples. The disciples, and actually this whole crowd of people that were gathered in an upper room, and they were in Jerusalem, and they were waiting for something to happen, and many of them really had no idea what was about to happen, but they knew that they needed to wait. This is the day of Pentecost for them. This was a religious holiday that had long been a part of their tradition, but they are waiting. Jesus had told them to wait. Here's a little bit. Let me tell you a little bit of what happened if you don't remember. This is where you just heard read, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Well, who's all together? A lot of people are all together. It is not just the disciples that are there. It is the disciples. It's other people that followed Jesus. It's the apostles that had followed Jesus. It is Mary, the mother of Jesus, and some of the women and some of the friends. And they have all gathered together in this upper room, and they are waiting. And listen, they had been through trauma, right? They had been through trauma, especially those that followed Jesus so closely. They had been there for his ministry, but most recently they had been there for his arrest, for the trial, for the crucifixion. They had locked themselves in rooms after it happened. They had locked themselves to hide away because they didn't know what was going to happen and they were so afraid. They thought everything was over. And then Jesus appeared to them. And they began to believe the resurrection. Jesus had told them it would happen, but they didn't really believe it. And now Jesus appears and stands before them in the room, and they begin to grasp what the resurrection of Jesus Christ means. And then Jesus appeared to them on the beach. They were at the beach. There's this great story of having breakfast on the beach, and there was Jesus. And they had conversation. And the person who wrote the book of Acts, we believe, is Luke. And he gives us this account of all of this. After his, meaning Jesus' suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And now, this next piece, I want you to read. Go down to where it says while. Read this piece with me. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. And so they're waiting. Peter is waiting. You remember Peter? Peter's the one who denied Jesus. Not long ago, Peter had been sitting in a courtyard by the fire while Jesus is on trial during the arrest, and Peter is all out of sorts. Peter doesn't know what's happening. He's sitting by a fire, and he can see Jesus. We believe he can see what's happening, and he's sitting there, and he's waiting, and people come up to him and say, but you know, you were with him, right? And Peter says, no, I wasn't. I wasn't with him. And he denies Christ. Peter loses his voice, if you will, by that fire. He loses who he is. Peter discovers that sometimes when you don't know what you're waiting for, you don't know what to do. And this is what's happening to Peter as he sits by the fire. But now, Peter has seen the risen Christ, and he is beginning to comprehend what the resurrection means. You understand that after the resurrection, after they'd seen Jesus, after Jesus goes up into heaven, and after this day of Pentecost happened to them, the disciples preached the resurrection every day of their lives. They began to understand what the risen Christ meant for people. Peter is beginning to find his voice again, but even so, he's waiting. He must be wondering if he is ready for whatever is coming next. They're not sure. Jesus ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. To wait for the promise of the Father. Now, imagine you don't know the rest of the story. Imagine you don't know what's coming next, and they're like, go wait in this room for the promise of the Father. And they're thinking, what's the promise? What's the promise? We know the rest of the story. We know what happened. We know about all the things that happened that day. But when we read Acts 1, and Jesus told this to the disciples. When we read Acts 1, we remember what the promise is. And the promise is this: but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Read that sentence with me, if you will. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is a promise that they're waiting for. And honestly, if I were them, I would be like, what on earth does he mean? Like, I don't get it, Jesus. They've just experienced the resurrection. They must be reeling. They couldn't know what was about to happen. They're about to receive the Holy Spirit. And what that will do is remind them that they are never without God. I don't know if you remember the name of this sermon series that we're doing. It's called Carrying God. And when we talked about this, the whole idea behind it was, how do we carry God? Do we carry God with us every day? Does caring God mean you wear a cross around your neck? Does it mean you have a cross in your pocket? Does it mean you have a scripture in your purse or your back pocket? What does carrying God mean? The disciples are about to discover what it means to carry God. It means that the Holy Spirit takes up residence in their life. The real title of this particular sermon series is supposed to be God Equips Us, which is true and very nice. But I think it should be this: out of the frying pan and into the fire. And when you think about what street your church is on, you get it? We're on Frying Pan Road, in case you don't know. This is what I believe the title of this message should be. Because today is all about the Holy Spirit. And when you pray for the Holy Spirit, when you preach about the Holy Spirit, when you invite the Holy Spirit to come, it can get hot. And you can feel like you are being called to do things you never thought that you would do. It's all about the presence. Sometimes we think that when we walk with God, when we carry God with us, life will be easier and it will be a little bit tame and it will be nice and calm. And in some ways it is. Some ways, when you accept God into your life, when you accept Christ into your heart, you walk with more assurance because you're just understand that you're not walking alone. But the other piece of this is, if you call on the Holy Spirit and you say, come, we've just been singing these great songs. Come, Holy Spirit, come into my life. Fill us with your presence. When you are praying that, you are asking for something bigger than I think we really understand. We are asking to be changed. We are asking for God to work in us in such a way that we cannot imagine. Our church, Florist United Methodist Church, Restoration Church, we have this history of taking some Holy Spirit risks. We are taking these risks. The place where you are sitting was a Holy Spirit risk. I don't know if you know this, if you're at home, you're looking into this place. When we decided to build this building, and particularly this sanctuary, this was phase two, that was a Holy Spirit risk because people were telling us, you can't do it. You can't do it. You don't have the money. You don't have the people. It's not going to work. You shouldn't do this. But we all said yes, because we believed that the Holy Spirit was calling us to build this space so that people could come and learn to know who Jesus was, so that together we could grow and learn as disciples of Christ, so we could go out into the world. And then when we agreed to that and we started the phase two, we dug this giant hole in the ground. You may have heard Tom Berlin tell this story. We dug this giant hole in the ground, and on the day that the hole was done, the recession hit. And we drove up to the edge of the hole and looked in the pit of this space and thought, oh God, what are we doing? And the Holy Spirit said, oh, remember, I never said it would be easy. I never said you would be confident the whole time. I said I would be with you. And it worked. And here we are. And here you are. And here you are online. And we are reaching people in ways we never thought we could do. We don't just reach people that come to Frying Pan Road. We reach people beyond. Just ask the people online. And that's why I think the title of this sermon should be this: Out of the Frying Pan Road and Into the Fire. Because we come together in this way that we come together to learn and to grow and to be the community of Christ together, to reach out to one another, to uphold one another, to care for one another, so that we can go out beyond Frying Pan Road and be the church. Whether that means being the church by offering a new type of worship experience in Reston. Whether that means being the church by going out to the Loud and Abused Women's Shelter and being with women there. Whether that means working with places like A Place to Be, where you can help people feel included and welcome. Whether it means partnering with Hutchison Elementary School and helping kids have enough food to eat. We are called out of this space into other spaces so that we can be the church. I want to take just a minute and show you a video, not about our church, but I thought you might really want to see this. It is an example of what other United Methodists are doing. I have this wonderful job that I also do, and I coach other United Methodist churches, other pastors and churches that are they're looking for what are they going to do next. And there is a church in West Virginia that I've been working with, and they have been trying to figure out what to do next. They are in the midst of a pastoral transition that they did not anticipate. We anticipated ours. They didn't. Imagine what that feels like. And so they sat together and they prayed and they worried and they worked and they asked for the Holy Spirit to tell them what to do. And the Holy Spirit said, I think you should sponsor a family from Ukraine. This is a small church. And people said, you can't do that. Like, it's complicated to do that. And they said, I really feel like the Holy Spirit's asking us to do this. And so they did, and I want to show you this video. It's about 3 minutes, so watch the story unfold, and then we'll talk some more about it. Go ahead and play the video. When you pray to the Holy Spirit and say, what can we do as a church? What can we do as people? You're going to be asked to do things that you can't imagine you have been asked. That's a church in West Virginia. Listen, if you are new here, if you haven't been a part of Florist United Methodist Church for a while, can I tell you that we've done some amazing things as a church as well? And I could show you video after video from right here. If you're new here, you can turn to someone around you either after worship or maybe in the gathering space afterwards when you pause to talk to someone. You can ask them about how we worked with Sierra Leone United Methodist Church and formed the Child Rescue Center, which turned into the Child Reintegration Center, which takes children off the street and helps them find their way, which helps families stay connected one to the other rather than living apart. You can ask about Mercy Hospital, a hospital that you started in Sierra Leone, Africa, in Bo, in one of the poorest countries of the world, so that women could have children safely. You can ask your neighbor about Hutchison Elementary School and how we do backpack meals for them and how we have mentors and how we help families understand that they are still cared for even though they're in difficult times. You can ask someone about the Florist Guest House, which we do in the winter so that people without homes can come to the church and stay and feel safe and cared for. You can ask about ministry after ministry, and then you can ask, why do we do this? And we do this because we sing these songs and we pray to the Holy Spirit and we say, God, what do you want us to do next? It's an amazing thing that we get to do. And so the question for today on Pentecost Sunday, the question is, what are we doing now? What is the Holy Spirit asking us to do right now? And I don't know about you, but there are times when I need to re-up, when I need to say, okay, am I still in this? Do I still want to do this? It's a little bit like being in the military. You know, you enlist in the military for a period of time and you serve, and then it's time to decide if you're going to do it again or not. And if you choose to do it again, you re-enlist and you serve fully. You don't sit around and twiddle your thumbs. Here's what's amazing about people that wait in the church. They don't just wait for something to happen. They engage in the practices of the church as they wait. They don't just twiddle their thumbs. They don't just wonder what's coming next. They pray. They have conversations with one another. They read scripture. They wait to hear something from God, but they don't wait in silence and no motion. They pray, and they ask the Holy Spirit what is about to happen. That's what the disciples did. That's what we are called to do. When you wait in the church, you engage with God and with others who are invested in serving. Ask the people who started Mercy Hospital and the Child Reintegration Center and Hutchison PALS. The Florist Guest House, the Family Bible Camp. All the things that this church does is not done by people sitting and passively waiting for the Holy Spirit to pound them on the head and say, here's what's next. Sometimes we wait and we pray for the Holy Spirit and we take a little piece of paper and we think, this is what's going to happen. Okay, Holy Spirit, I'm praying for you, and this is what's going to happen, and it's going to come, and it's going to be nice, gentle little breeze of what we're supposed to do. But that's generally not what happens. Generally, we get this fan, and it blows you away, and you think, I can't do it. I can't build the building. I can't build the hospital. I can't start the new program. And that's the danger for the church, to think, I can't. When you can, if you trust the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen what happened to the disciples. I think you know this. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. Notice the descriptors in this. Rush, violent wind, filled entire house. This was no gentle breeze. This was a gale force wind. And as a result of this wind, Peter who had denied Christ, Peter who had lost his voice, finds his voice again. He stands up. He preaches this message. 3,000 people learn about Jesus Christ and are baptized that day. He does it because he allows the Holy Spirit to fill him. His mission was to help people know about Jesus Christ, and that is our mission as well. We cannot let the message of Easter, of the resurrected Christ, simply be for Easter and the time immediately following. Pentecost reminds us that this message is our mission, our goal, our vision for the world. Pentecost is meant to remind us that a fire burns inside of us, the fire of love and light and salvation and joy, this fire that propels us to take risks we might not otherwise take. This is what Florist has always been about. This is who we have always been. This is why we exist. We exist to be at the center of the community so that the community can be centered on Christ. We exist to widen the circle and to reach new people. We exist to care for the vulnerable, to love each other. We exist to love even those who do not love us. This is who we are and who we are always called to be. And so today on Pentecost Sunday, what does this mean? We are florists. We have a bold and powerful history. We can tell wonderful stories about who we are and what we've been. And the question is, who are we right now? And who do you want to be tomorrow? We are in this time of transition. And most of you know that Tom Berlin, who was our lead pastor for 25 years, left at the end of December, and we're in this time when we are waiting for Pastor Gina Anderson Cloud to come. She'll be here on July the 9th, but we do not wait for her passively. We do not wait for her to come and say, here is what we're going to do. It is not about what we are going to do when Pastor Gina gets here. It is about what we are living, how we are living out the gospel right now. Don't sit on the sidelines and wait for Pastor Gina to show up and then wait to see what Pastor Gina will do. No, we do it right now. We show up for worship. We volunteer for Kid Nation. We bring books for the children at Hutchison. We collect food for the hungry. We sign up for Family Bible Camp and show up and teach those kids. We keep studying scripture and we keep praying for the sick. And then when Pastor Gina shows up, we surround her, we join hands with her, and we begin to pray for what else the Holy Spirit is calling us to do. You don't sit around waiting for a gentle breeze to come. You sit around and pray for a gale force wind to come and tell you what you can do for Jesus. We keep on working. Of course we will go on vacations. We'll go to the pool and the beach. We will go fish at Lake Anna. And we will ask the Holy Spirit to step in and help us be bold. We'll ask the Holy Spirit to help us step into this exciting and fresh wind so that we can reach people who are hopeless, so that we can care for people who are hurting, so that we can welcome people who think they have no place to be. I love Florist United Methodist Church. Every day I wake up and I thank God that I get to work here. And it's largely because of you. Working with you is one of the best things in my life. But I think we're being called to do more. I think we're being called to step up and step in. We live in a world that is politically divided. We live in a world that is religiously divided. We are being called to step into that world as people who carry the Holy Spirit. We're not being called to sit back and wait quietly for whatever is next. We are being called to wait loudly and boldly. It's a great time to be the church. There is so much to do and so much that we can do together. And there are a couple things I want to ask you to do while we wait, not passively, but actively. I want you to pray. I want you to risk praying some of those songs that Megan was leading us in today. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place. Ask them to flood your heart. And then I want you to start talking. Talk to one another about what does it mean to pay attention to what the Holy Spirit is asking us to do? What does it mean to dare to think that the Holy Spirit might actually be talking to you? And then I want you to call some people who haven't been to worship and invite them. Invite them to come back. Invite them to come for the first time because, friends, that's how you share the message of Jesus Christ. You don't pray and hope they show up. You pray and you call them on the phone or you knock on the door and you say, would you come with me? Come with me to worship. Come with me to Family Bible Camp. Come with me to serve in Grace Ministries. It's not passive waiting. And then I want you to walk. I want you to walk when you're here at the church. And this is going to be crazy. I want you to come to worship a little bit early. early, like 10 minutes early. And when you come, walk around and talk to people. I don't know if you've noticed, but your clergy never sits and waits for worship to start. We'll sit for maybe a minute to kind of prepare ourselves. But all the time before worship, we're walking around and talking. Do you know why? Because we like you. And we don't get to see you very often. And I meet new people all the time when I'm walking around. I'm saying, hey, I'm Barbara. Maybe I should know you, but I don't. How long have you been coming? And we have conversations. And so I would invite you to come a little early and walk around the sanctuary and talk to people and get to know them. It's going to feel a little awkward at first. But we'll do it. And you can do it. And then when worship is over, you walk around before, don't run out to your car. Walk around a little bit and talk to one another. And then finally, I want you to serve. You are serving. You're here. Like, I'm literally preaching to the choir right now. You are here, but I want you to come to worship and allow the Holy Spirit to talk to you. And I want you to be in a place where you can hear it and you can understand. You're not just sitting here at home and here waiting for something to happen. You are eagerly anticipating what will happen because you're here. And then God's going to say, I want you to come and I want you to sing in the band. I want you to read the scripture. I want you to work at the welcome desk. I want you to lead at family Bible camp. I want you to help when Pastor Gina comes. I want you to help and lead these listening sessions that we're going to have. The Holy Spirit will talk to you if you ask for it and if you listen. I believe this will happen. It's Pentecost Sunday. It's that time. I really tried to figure out how I could get a giant fan up here and like blow it out there. We don't have one, so I decided not to do that. I want you to imagine that the Holy Spirit is just waiting to unleash a gale force wind on your faith, so that we can continue being Florist United Methodist Church in the community and in the world, because, oh my gosh, you guys are so amazing. We get to do this stuff together. And I can't wait for what's coming next. And Pentecost. Pentecost is the time to say, yes, God, I'm still in. Amen?